702 Afternoons
with Relebogile Mabuja.
Live,
online,
smartphones,
the 702 app,
DSTV channel 856,
92.7,
and 106 FM.
So before we talk about cultural shocks, guys, I just have to share something with you. So I had a very late night. Somebody's to blame. I won't say who, but they know themselves and they're listening. Baba. So I had a late night. Anyways, I'm super, super tired. And I get into work now and I'm saying to the team, can we get a cold drink or something, a fizzy drink? I just need that sugar lift before the show. And unfortunately, we couldn't get in time. So one of my team members says, just look in your handbag. Didn't you have a sweet? So I'm like, I don't really carry sweets in my handbag, but sometimes at restaurants when the bill comes, those sweets, I just throw them in. I'm digging through my handbag. Do I not find communion from church, from a service like 3 weeks ago? And if you don't know, communion is not like what it was back in the day where you all go to the front and drink out the same cup. It's in a little container that at the top, it has the little wafer, the bread, the body of Christ, and then underneath it is the juice, the blood of Christ at the bottom. But it's in a little container. Very, very smart. So it's in my handbag and I'm remembering, oh, God, there was a day my son was melting down in church. So we dashed before communion time. Shab. So there I am. And I'm like, my team's like, drink the communion for energy before the show. Did I not message the pastor to be like, Esh, something feels not right about drinking this? To be like, can I drink this communion and have the blood of Jesus to get me through the show? Anyways, I just had to share that random thing that happened. And the answer is no, you can't just randomly drink communion. Okay, so what was your experience driving through to work? Because as I was also just thinking about the culture shock thing, there are many, many people who are not from here, foreigners, tourists, that talk about the culture shock in South Africa. And I just really want to know about the culture shock. So there is a thing that happens, I can't remember which Western European country is, but it's those Nordic-like countries where they don't feed you. And I think we've touched on this before. They don't feed you. They budget according to who is in the home. And if you are even a child that is visiting your friend, they will go downstairs like you're there to sleep over. Your friend and his family will go downstairs and eat supper and you'll be upstairs and you won't be fed. That is a massive culture shock. And there are certain countries that obviously do things a completely different way. So for those of you who have traveled, for those of you who have been in other people's homes, what are the things that happen in people's homes that for you are a culture shock? So I'll give another example of a culture shock that I have experienced. One of them was, I know of people, or let me say this specific person was sharing with us, that in their family, if somebody's in the shower, it's not weird for anybody else to come into the bathroom to get something. So it could be your dad and you're in the shower. It's not weird for them because it's like, but I need to get something. Whereas we from pre-puberty are already, you don't get exposed to your father or older men or even the younger men in your family. The boys and girls are fully separated. So when she shared this with me, that was a complete culture shock that, oh, you would be showering and your dad can just go in to get something. And that was the culture shock for me. I found that very odd. I found it very odd that you guys are okay to do that. Mukundi says communion is a very serious deal for Christians. Respect and honor is attached. I know, Mukundi. I was just sharing my situation. We know, brah. Like, we know. And when people say, ah, oh, never mind. I'm not going to entertain this. 011-883-0702. Send through your SMSs. 31702. tweet us at RileboGileM at Radio 702 using the hashtag 702 afternoons and the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702.
702 afternoons
with RileboGile Mabotja.
Lines are always open
on
011-883-0702.
Let us go to the lines. We have Prince in Bedford View. Prince, how are you doing?
What did you do?
What?
What did you do? Oh my God.
What? Am I in trouble?
Do you know that in church those days, right, there's this miracle that we're told about how, you know, when you keep the body of Christ in a cup, it comes, then it overflows. You know, these stories we're told, right?
Yes.
Weren't you scared that very, very, when you open your bag, now there's body of Christ all over, all this blood.
I wasn't scared because I know what situation, like, my thing is always God knows my heart. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't intentionally leave it in my handbag. The intention was to have communion at church.
Exactly.
But on that day, my son was melting down, so ended up leaving the service a little bit earlier. You know?
So God,
it just
has a lot of things to deal with. your case is up there. You're special.
My case is up there. is it a culture shock for you that I considered simping my communion just before my radio show to be in the spirit?
It is beyond culture. This is a national shock. National shutdown vibe. This is yo.
I am the real national shutdown, Prince.
You are, forget my lemma. You are the one.
So tell me your experience of culture shock.
I'm living from Nigeria, right?
Yes.
When I get here, the food for me is quite a culture shock. I mean, people do, even here, a lot of people say South African, Nigerian food is quite a culture shock for them. But here, I didn't understand. So when they cook chicken, right, chicken and pap. So in my head, I was under the impression that they use the water from the chicken. Well, you know, when you cook the meat,
yes,
the water that is left, they use it as sauce. Where I come from, we have, our soup is very rich, extremely rich.
Mm.
So we have beef in it. We have like a goosey, for instance. We put a lot in it. So I couldn't complain. So now, obviously, I've been here for a while, and I understand that when you cook the chicken, for instance, there's this oil that goes in it. They use that oil for the pap. Well, I think don't get it, but us, we spend. So it's only the culture shock. I never, ever, ever, ever would just, I thought it was water. How can you use chicken water to eat pap? You know, so because we spend a lot of time, we put a lot in our soup. It's quite rich, so we go all out. So I think that's still a culture shock for me.
Yes. And I think also, I'll tell you another culture shock. So when we make gravy, people from Zimbabwe call gravy soup. So there'd always be this confusion in my household. If you're trying to say, please, can we make gravy? And they'll say, the soup is ready. I'm like, what soup are you talking about? Gravy, what we call gravy there. So I said, okay, in Zim, what do you call soup? No, soup is also soup. So how do you differentiate between soup and gravy? That for me was like, I don't understand. A very, very serious culture shock. Thank you so much, Prince in Bedford View, for that one. There is a WhatsApp that says, hi, Lebo. I wonder what's the conversation in the Nordic family's dinner table. I'm sure they're saying, "Uyahlanya, uzolagube," as in, this person's crazy. They'll eat at their home. That's from Sands in Stratford. Let's go to Mahashe in Soweto. Hi.
Hi, how are you, Mama?
Good, thanks, and you?
I'm fine.
Yes.
I'm interested in the topic of a culture shock, man.
Yes, tell me, where are you from and where did you visit that you experienced culture shock?
No, I didn't visit, but there's a friend of mine who came from Mozambique.
Mm.
He told me that it's a train a month. I was wondering, the train?
Mm.
What's a train? He says, they call these ships that carry the goods. They call it a train a month.
Oh, like a steam... It makes sense, though. Steam train. Isn't that what...
Yes.
Oh!
A month.
That makes complete sense. So for you, was it a complete shock?
It was a shock. How can you train? Combine age, Mama, you.
I absolutely love that one, because at the end of the day, whether it's Yamanzi or anything else, it's a train.
It's a train. Okay.
Oh, thank you so much, Mahasha in Soweto. I'm recalling another one. My brothers and dad had gone, I think it was to St. Francis Bay, but they met other people on the golf course, and then they invited them over to the house. So the husband calls the wife to say, I'm coming with people, prepare some food. So the first course, which is, it was a mild culture shock, but not such a big culture shock. The first course was like a platter with meat. And then the main course was just meat on bigger platters and ditamati. And I don't know if it's a Xhosa thing or if it's like, is it a Kapa thing? But they were shocked. Like, there is so much, there was just so much meat. Granted, this was a while ago. The economy was not like what it is right now. But it was like they just ate meat with a side of little cut up tomatoes that were there, possibly as garnish. Let me know, those of you that are from there, that is that the norm, or was it just those particular people? Ntabi in Pretoria, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks, and you?
I'm good, I'm good. Go ahead.
I once had an American coming over, and then, like, I normally put my groceries under the stairs.
Yes.
So one day when I woke up, here's this guy holding the whole can of the perekis, you know?
Yes.
Eating with a spoon, and it's like, normal. I'm like, what? The worst one. The other one came, wanted to brush the teeth in the kitchen basin. I'm no. That was a shock.
you know, in the kitchen sink, they also wash the dogs and the babies there, ne?
Ew.
You know that, ne? Go rough, go rough. Thank you so much, Ntabi in Pretoria. I do find, I'm not going to lie, I find Americans a lot more forward than what we are as South Africans. And I'm sure there are other nationalities or visitors that would say South Africans are so forward. But they're very forward. A person won't know you and they will just walk into, like, they are a friend of a friend, but they can comfortably walk into your kitchen and just take something. Like, who goes through your grocer, opens a tin of peaches and just starts eating? I've seen people who, when they're hungry, and there's, I have no issue with people going into the fridge, but let's say there's leftovers in a very big container. They put the whole thing in the microwave, heat up all the leftovers, and then eat their portion and then leave that Tupperware to sit. And I'm like, why didn't you just heat up your food, your part? Why are you involving everybody? Now the food's going to go off. Like, why? Dalton in Joburg South. Hi.
Hi, little Dalton here.
Yes, go ahead, Dalton.
Okay, so we had some Americans that came over to visit us, and I decided to take them. They wanted to see the Big Five. And they're from, like, the Midwest, you know, so they've never been to any of the big city centers in the U.S.
Yes.
And I think we kind of always imagine that Americans all have big cities, but they don't.
Mm.
So they came to a small little Midwest town, and they wanted to see the Big Five. We showed them the Big Five, and one of them made a comment and said, oh, this is Africa. And I decided, right then, they're not even going to show you what we look like. And I took them to CBD, Carlton Center, and they got a culture shock because they saw Africans who are Africans, and they went 50 stories. They've never been higher than 5 stories in their lives.
Wow.
So they got a culture shock.
And isn't it amazing that the perception is Americans are so exposed? Like, we look at the West as this very exposed, but there are some Americans that can't point anything out on a map.
No. Especially these ones that we had. They didn't believe that we had better cars than them. They didn't believe we had air conditioning in our homes. It was a whole lot that they were just shocked by. And I think the whole Africa was just a culture shock for them.
Yeah, it's a pity what they are exposed to that side. But now I don't make excuses for Americans' lack of interest in trying to find out where we are at in the world. But I think I didn't realize how Americans can be not the sharpest knives in the drawer. When I was traveling and we were in London in the tube, and these American young girls were asking which is the line they need to basically take to go to Switzerland.
Yeah.
And I think they didn't. I was just like, do you understand where we are and what the setup is? Like,
take the line from here and just go to Africa while you're
there. Delta and Joburg South, yes, that too. Kamakhalo in Pretoria, hi.
Hi, Relebohile.
Go ahead.
You know, there's a colleague of mine originally from Angola. He once brought food that he said his brother came with from Angola.
Yes.
It apparently, it's cow skin that they scrape off the hair of it. They either dry it or cook it with water.
Yes.
And that was one thing that was bizarre, because when we slaughter a cow in South Africa, we throw away that cow skin, but they use it to eat apparently Central and Northern Africa. Yes.
And
that was a culture shock for me.
What did it taste like?
I didn't even get to taste it, because the thing is, you know, the food that we used to eat in South Africa, you like the food by the way it smells and the way it looks. So if it doesn't look good to your eyes, then you won't eat it. But apparently a friend of other colleague of ours tasted the food. He says, tastes delicious, but I never got to taste it.
There's certain things I'm too scared to taste. Like, like in Asia, if I even suspect that it might not be the kind of meats I'm accustomed to, I might be vegetarian for that trip, because for me the consuming of pets is a lot for me. Even being in Lesotho, that you can eat your transport in Lesotho, ujepere, horse, I can't. Like, for me, that is even a culture shock. Maggie in Kempton Park, hi, go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks, and you?
I'm good. So the first one is, I'm from the Northwest. I was raised in the Northwest. I'm Motswana. So I'm married to a Tswana guy who was raised in the Northwest, but now he's in Thokoza. He stays in Thokoza. So my culture shock was, when I got married into this family, they like walking around naked.
What?
Like,
Maggie, are you talking about like the one-year-old toddler?
No, like my sister-in-law will just come from the bathroom, and my mother-in-law will be like, ah, never mind them. In this house, they walk like this. I'm like,
wait, oh, so is it walking around naked, as in when as a woman, you know, there's only woman in the house, or just in J?
Even when my husband is there.
What?
My husband will be like,
no.
I go to them like this. Like, even my niece do it, like, come on, you are 20-something year old. Why are you walking around other men? Okay, it's family, but there are other men naked.
So at what point did you decide to stay married to this? You must really love this man, Maggie.
You know, I walk out as soon as they come out naked. It's uncomfortable for me. I just walk out really quickly. And the other one really quickly is, I think maybe it's a township thing. So when there's a
No, I'm going to ask all the listeners, is it a township thing to just walk around naked?
No, I mean this one, the second one. So I think maybe it's a township thing. So when there's a funeral, so my husband will ask Hori, funeral is wana goma.
Yes.
I didn't understand at first. And
so as in to translate for the listeners, what time is the funeral finishing?
Leaving to the cemetery, then they will say 10 o'clock.
Yes.
And my husband will say, okay, we must be there at 10. I'm like, no, but we didn't attend the funeral. Because for me, I'm from the Northwest region. When you attend the funeral, you must be there like from the beginning.
If
you start at 7, no, not with my husband. If the funeral is leaving at 12, you are attending from 12.
How? So when he only attends the burial?
Yeah, like, they do it. Like, I've seen it a lot, multiple times in the wherever I accompany my husband. I have seen multiple times, like, people will just arrive just 10 minutes before they proceed to the cemetery, and it's normal. I'm like, but you didn't attend the funeral.
Maggie, I have to be honest, I'm with you on that. I'm even shocked, and I truly believe you love your man. You love that guy. I hope he knows how much you love him. Megan Kempton Park, we will continue with your calls and your WhatsApps when we come back as well.
702 Afternoons
with Relebogile Mabotja.
Lines are always open
on 011-883-0702.
25 minutes to 2 o'clock, and we are going to be Just continuing with the conversation around culture shock, what are the types of culture shock that you experience when visiting another person or visiting another country, or maybe when somebody else that you know does certain things a certain way that's not really your vibe? 011-883-0702 and the WhatsApp line 0727021702. Let's go to Mike in Naturena. Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm well, Relebo Hele. How are you?
Good, good. So talk to us.
Yeah, so for me, I kind of want to defend the Americans a bit and say sometimes we are also just as ignorant as they are.
Mm-hmm.
I remember growing up, I spent all my life thinking that all white people could speak English. And then I got a passport and decided to travel, and I met Serbian bloke who couldn't speak a word of English.
Mm.
And I just froze, and I was like, what is going on?
Yes.
Like, I just could not understand. How are you white and you don't understand English?
Yes, yes.
Vice versa, like in Dubai, they would never understand that we black people don't understand each other. And I'd be like, but he's from Kenya. And I'm from South Africa. They'd be like, yeah, so what? You're all African at the end of the day.
Yes.
Like, yeah, it's different. Yeah. So we South Africans are also a little bit behind.
No, I'm with you. And I mean, it all boils down to what you've been exposed to. So if all you saw was every white person you saw growing up or saw on screen, on television, was speaking English, that is the natural assumption that you would make. So now suddenly you see somebody who is white, though some might argue technically all those that are speaking European languages and all other things are technically not white. Conversation for another day. For me, it would be a natural assumption to make, but completely hear you. Thank you, Mike. Brian in Midrand, hi.
Hi, how's it?
Good, thanks, and you?
All right. So I just wanted to also share the same sentiment as the previous lady that called. I think she called two steps back.
Yes.
But my sister, she's a cleaning lady, right? So she was working for a couple. So it's like a couple, and they have like a 17-year-old or so daughter.
Mm.
And they would casually move around the house naked. In fact, she had to actually quit the job because, you know, she felt uncomfortable. It was a bit of a culture shock. We are originally from Zimbabwe.
Yes.
But yeah, she's experienced this quite a number of times. In fact, they've got like a WhatsApp group where they discuss these kinds of things. And for me, it was a culture shock. But when I approached the couple, they told me that it's normal. That's pretty much how they live, you know. So, yeah, I just wanted to share and say that that's one of the experiences I've had.
So here's my question. Did they inform her prior to starting that, just so you're aware, this is what we do?
No, they hadn't mentioned it prior. That was the concerning bit. I assume they just, well, like, okay, they'll probably understand type of thing. But yeah, they hadn't approached her prior.
I genuinely feel like it's not a common thing. So I find it odd that they would say it's normal. If they say it's normal in their household, maybe. But
perhaps,
you know, other people are not doing that. Why wouldn't you tell your new domestic worker that, listen, we walk around naked? That just sounds like the most uncomfortable experience.
It,
like,
was unbelievable. I had to actually approach them on their behalf because I thought, you know, like, maybe there was an issue there. But they were very understanding people, man. Some very well-educated, very, you know, at face value, you would think that these people have no issues.
But not so, understanding enough to get your mans to put his drawers on when...
Exactly, like, you know what I mean?
Gosh,
yeah.
I mean, Brian and Midrand, wow, guys. You guys have a lot going on. There's so much.
Hi, Relebo Hele. My late husband was from Zimbabwe, so my culture shock when I arrived there, I think 23 years ago, is that a makoti is not supposed to sit on the chair. I was so, like, shocked.
Wait, we need the... What? What's the rest of the story? So, as a makoti, are you supposed to sit on the floor? And is it in the period that you are being a makoti? Like, what is the deal? I'm so confused. Somebody please send a WhatsApp and let us know. Our message says, culture shock using toilets in Taiwan. Just I lost the message. But I think they were saying it's just a hole in the ground. Another one says, parents who allow their son's girlfriend or their daughter's boyfriend to sleep at their houses. This is very shocking to me. Neo from Rustenburg. And more of your voice notes.
Hi, Rulebuhile. My name is Rufila from Attridgeville. I used to have a friend from Ghana. And she one day invited me for lunch. But she said, no, she wants to prepare the food for me. You know, I must be there when she's preparing the food. Then I went to her house and she started preparing the food. But as she's busy preparing, I can see that it's not something that I'm going to like here. You know, and she's preparing, finished, and then she dish out. And I just looked at the food and I said, no, I can't. And she says, no taste. And I couldn't even taste the food, hey? Yeah.
Hi there, babes. Yeah, sometimes they're just certain flavors we're not accustomed to, and it does start with the smell.
Hi, Lebuhile, Vepa from Rosebank. We do the same culture, Kohai, and I once approached my parents and asked them, well, why are we doing this? There are reasons, Nelo Hore, if one of us walwala, so we can look after each other if something happens. Mm. So we should be comfortable around ourselves.
So the explanation from your parents as to why they walk around naked is that if one of you gets sick and the other needs to take care of you, you must be... No, we don't have to practice. Like, why? It genuinely makes me feel so uncomfortable.
Hey, Lebohile, here's my culture shocker, and it's here in South Africa. So in Pretoria, like Harankua Mabopane, we call Baloni Mafali. Like there's Baloni and there's Mafali. But when you go to areas like Daveyton Springs, they call it Mangola. I was so confused. Like, you know, you walk into a shop and you're like, I want Mafali, and they all look at you. They're like, oh, Mangola, you know. And another thing was, we have Makel, like, you know, Jackson 5. We call them Jackson 5. That side, they call it Makel. Hi, yeah, no, very interesting though.
Wow.
Hi, Lebohile. I think my biggest shock when I first came to South Africa was the taxis. Two things in the taxis. Number one, the fact that they don't have route numbers. You just use signs. Number two, there's no conductor, especially in Gauteng. It's like you sit in front there, and then now you have to be responsible for counting all the money and giving the change. In most other countries, you have a conductor, and you have route numbers. Jimmy.
Thank you, Jimmy. I can so believe that, because imagine you're just trying to get somewhere, and suddenly somebody's making you work and count money. One says, hi, Lebo. I'm the lady who visited Zim. Yes. As long as there's a father at home, the sister-in-law or even all women who live in that home are not allowed to sit on a chair. Another person is saying the subject of sitting on the floor, if you are a Magoti, it is normal in the Zulu culture, like Deep KZN. As a Magoti, I'm not allowed to sit on a chair, and that's why I don't visit. So many of your culture shocks. I really do not even know what to say, because I myself am shocked. But at the same time, it is the beauty of life. And I think that's why so many people encourage traveling. Even if you have a little bit of money, to just leave your province, to just go and see how other people live, to go to another country and just be exposed. That's the beauty of it all. Thank you so much for all your calls, your WhatsApps and your voice notes.